And now for something completely different.
It's a Rich Man's World. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story. Real talk about money, markets, life. Now, it's The Real Investment Show with Lance Roberts. Presented by RIA Advisors.
Good morning. It is 6:07 on this hump day edition of the Real Investment Show. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, and you?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, baby.
You know what that means?
I do.
What does that mean?
It's all downhill from here.
It's 7 days until Thanksgiving.
But who's counting?
Who's counting? Yes, exactly. Who's counting? Nobody. I was asking my kids yesterday because, you know, they're out all next week.
Oh, yeah.
For Thanksgiving. It's like, when did that happen? You know, when you know, I remember going to school.
Yep.
and you get out for Thanksgiving week, then you have Christmas break, and then they threw in spring break after I graduated school, right?
Yeah, we never got that.
We never got that. So, you know, I'm pretty convinced they don't go to school as much as we think they're supposed to. or probably need to, actually.
Well, there's that. And then
too many holidays, maybe. But I've forgotten that, you know, they get, you know, this whole week off. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I want a whole week off.
You know? Well, why don't you take the week off?
Well, maybe. I'm still, you know, but the thing is, even if I take a week off, I still work.
I know.
You know, it's not like I actually get a week off.
You really can't help it.
I know. But I mean, just somebody's got to write this stuff. It's not going to write itself. So
we got AI robots for that.
Exactly. You know, it's not too far from the truth.
We can all be replaced by a machine.
Exactly. So I've got a couple of stories to get into today, but did you see the story? They have now launched a criminal investigation into the guards that were guarding Jeffrey Epstein.
I wonder how long before they commit suicide.
It may not be too long. Of course, you know, that's kind of the interesting issue, right, is that they were, quote unquote, sleeping while the whole suicide occurred.
I'm not so sure that dereliction of duty is a good defense.
Well, not only is the local police now investigating this, is now the FBI's into it as well. So this is getting there. But so what this means is that, you know, as we do segments of the show, we will end them with Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
That meme is hilarious, and it's showing up all over the place.
I thought the best one was the Navy SEAL that was on CNN talking about military dogs, and you shouldn't have this dog unless you understand what you have and, you know, acquire a fully tamed dog, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And I mean, the whole thing is like, We've got stuff to get into today, but don't be surprised if you hear that meme pop up a little
bit
here and there.
Subliminally.
the headline is FBI is now investigating a criminal enterprise in conjunction with the arrested Epstein guards. So the guards were arrested,
enterprise.
Right? So apparently there's more to it than, you know, and who would have ever thought that would occur in New York, right?
Well, I hope they do a thorough investigation, and who knows, maybe they'll find out what happened to Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, no.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think there's one thing, that being elected president has some benefits of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you get to find out all the answers to these things. You know, what's in Area 51, right? Who assassinated Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those unanswered questions you get to know as president. There's probably like a book, you know, that they just write this stuff down. It's like, okay, here you're president. This is the what you know. Oh, I'm sure there is. But
good morning, Mr. President. Do you want volume one or volume two?
This is why politicians are all corrupt, because they go up there and say, look, this is what goes on up here, and if you're not part of it, your Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the movies. The movies are always true, you know, by the way.
They don't just write themselves.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Maybe they do.
Truth is stranger than fiction. All right. A couple of things. Seriously, now we got to get to work. All right. So this morning, futures are pointing lower on the markets. Why? Well, China has now threatened retaliation. Of course, you know, this is, you know, this whole rally has been really kind of a twofold thing. One was the Federal Reserve, you know, basically implementing QE, quantitative easing, injecting $60 billion a month of liquidity into the markets. That certainly helped fuel the rise of asset prices over the last few days, last few weeks. The other side of this has been hopes for a trade deal, right? We're going to sign phase one of the trade deal, and we're going to get this off the table. And as we wrote about before this even occurred, we wrote about this back in August. We said that Trump is going to want to get a trade deal done, get it off the table before the 2020 elections, because this is going to be a pick point for the Democratic candidates. Well, you know, the economy wouldn't be where it is at this moment with, you know, agricultural farmers. They're in a lot of duress right now over bankruptcies because of the trade war. So got to get this off the headlines, got to get that put away. And so shortly after we wrote that article, China and the Trump administration have been pushing hard to try to get this quote-unquote phase one trade deal done, which is code for let's get this off the table and never talk about it again deal. Well, all of a sudden now, this may be at risk because of what the Senate did yesterday. And I'm not saying what the Senate did was wrong, but it's going to put Trump into a very interesting position. So yesterday, what happened? First of all, the U.S. Senate passed a bill basically condemning Hong Kong, the you know, China's actions towards Hong Kong. I'm sure you've been keeping up with, you know, a lot of what's happening there. But, you know, Hong Kong has been fighting against extradition issues and others with China. This is a lot of human rights issues. So China's been dealing with this issue with Hong Kong. There's been riots. Day before yesterday involved a college with kids. It's not good. I mean, none of this is good that's happening in Hong Kong. Don't get me wrong. But it's a China deal. So yesterday, the U.S. Senate passes a bill basically condemning what's happening with China and Hong Kong. Now, not surprisingly, if you interfere with China's business, they're probably not going to be too happy about that. And of course, they have retaliated. They have made threats now in retaliation to the passing of this bill yesterday by the Senate. Okay, who cares, right? Senate passes this bill supporting Hong Kong as they should. I don't think anybody's arguing that point. Here's the problem. You're trying to cut a trade deal with China. So you need China to cooperate with you so you can get a deal done. And right, we're going to get phase one deal done. We're going to remove tariffs. They're going to buy agricultural products and it's all going to be fine and dandy. Everybody's going to be happy. Markets have been going up because of hopefully getting these tariffs off the table and threats of more tariffs and importantly. Well, now all of a sudden, this puts Trump in a very awkward position. The Senate passes this bill. It gets signed by the House. It goes to the president for signature. What does he do? If he signs the bill, well, you're pretty much going to kill any potential you've got to get a trade deal done. If you don't sign the bill, you're going to be seen as supporting China and what they're doing with Hong Kong. It's almost a no-win situation. This is going to be interesting how this turns out. But we'll touch on some more of this. So we have Danny Ratliff joining us this morning to talk more about the markets, your money, what's happening in the world around us, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. We'll be right back.
Can't catch the whole show now?
Listen to our podcast later
at realinvestmentadvice.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with RIA Advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve it. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the client portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
And welcome back to the show this morning. I'm Rose Lance Roberts. Danny Ratliff, Certified Financial Planner, joining us this morning on this hump day edition, you know, as we get ready to wrap up, you know, the week before Thanksgiving. It's the best week of the year. Christmas is
this
very
week or next week?
Next week. It's Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, right, Thanksgiving is a much better holiday than Christmas.
But the anticipation given the food is delicious.
Exactly. Absolutely right. I mean,
okay, I got to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, just the food's so much better on Thanksgiving.
So is somebody different cooking your Thanksgiving meal versus your Christmas meal? I mean,
well, yeah, on Christmas, you know, the Christmas meal kind of gets kind of put in the background because of, you know, everybody opening presents and all that other stuff, you know. But okay. Thanksgiving is all about the food, so everybody really goes out on Thanksgiving to make their best dishes.
So the main
right?
event is the food,
exactly.
not the toys and everything else.
Well, when was the last time you got toys?
Oh, man, I'm so in the sock category now. It's
terrible.
I know,
right? I was trying to explain this to my kids the other day because my daughter, she's 16, and she's like, well, I want this and this and this for Christmas. I said, sweetie, you're too old for Christmas now. I said, that doesn't work anymore. She goes, if you don't believe, you don't receive. And I'm like,
I don't believe you're going to receive.
That's pretty funny. That's
yeah.
good stuff.
But the most wanted products by mm-hmm. teenagers this year for Christmas.
Yeah.
Apple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Louis Vuitton.
Really?
Yeah. Kids aren't entitled.
So Louis Vuitton for children.
For teenagers.
Okay.
Teenagers, right? They want Louis Vuitton bags, whatever, for Christmas as a teenager. And Apple products.
I can assure you my child will not have a Louis Vuitton anything.
And $1,000. But don't forget, if you buy the Louis Vuitton bag, you have to buy the $1,000 iPhone.
Well, does that go with it?
I presume so. They want both. It's not one or the other. They want both.
Louis got smart, probably have an iPhone pocket. They're in cahoots.
Exactly.
There's a co-marketing opportunity here.
Bingo. But so the other day, though, have you been to Popeyes yet and got a chicken sandwich?
I have not.
You have not. So my wife went by Popeyes the other day. Yeah. You've heard about all this hubbub with Popeyes chicken sandwich. So she called me up the other day, and I'm on my way home for lunch. She says, hey, I'm going to go by Popeyes and get chicken sandwiches for lunch so we can see what this hubbub's all about. Because my family, all my kids, right, they're big Chick-fil-A fans. They like the company, they like what they stand for, and they like the food, right? So big supporters of Chick-fil-A. And there's one right around the corner from my house, so it's helpful. So, you know, now they've all been wanting to try the Popeyes chicken sandwich. And so two of my kids were home. They had a doctor's appointment, and they had gone to the doctor, and they wanted to stop by and get the Popeyes chicken sandwich for lunch. And so my wife says, you want one? I said, sure, grab me one, whatever. I don't ever eat that stuff, but sure, I'll try it. So she goes and she calls me back like 3 minutes later. She goes, forget that. It's an hour and a half wait for the next chicken sandwiches, right? Because they sold out. As soon as they get these chicken sandwiches up.
Now that was recently?
Yeah, this is like a week ago, right?
Man, I thought the whole thing was over.
Oh, no. As soon as these chicken sandwiches come out, they sell out. And then you got to wait like an hour and a half. I don't know why it takes so long to fry up chicken, but it does.
Are they laced with something magical? What?
Apparently so. But anyway, the other day, day before yesterday, mm-hmm. she actually scored a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Oh.
And she brought it home. She got one. And so by the time I got home, there was a very small little sliver of one left. And she goes, there's yours. Yeah. I tell you, it's very good.
Yeah?
Very, very good. But I'm not sure it's worth getting in a fight over.
Oh. So is it better than Chick-fil-A? That's the main question, right?
It's different than Chick-fil-A, but yes, it's very good. It's spicy, it's hot, it's very moist, but I'm not sure it's worth getting into a fight over.
But he's not even black.
And I'll kill you too.
Wow. He's not even black.
You're dumbass, ignorant ass. Don't talk to her. Let's go.
Well, I mean, yeah, because they got it.
Now, mind you, this is all happening
her
in front of a Popeyes chicken drive-through. These people have been waiting in line for over an hour for a Popeyes chicken sandwich. And now there's this lady sitting in the back of her car videoing a fight between two couples. Two white couples,
yeah.
Right? One's a really big guy, one's the little guy. Now they're very close to a brawl in front of a Popeyes drive-thru, and she's narrating this fight on her phone.
This is color play-by-play.
Exactly.
Look, wait a minute. This is better. Oh, get in the car.
I'm so glad we decided.
Oh, so she's the one. She's the one. Oh shit! He done pushed her. Oh. You can't do that. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You can't do that. Oh, Lord. Yeah, he's kind of psycho. He done called white people the little N and 2 G's. Oh, Lord. I'm so glad we decided to get you a chicken sandwich. Oh, blue shirt. Wait. Get in the car. Does this mean the chicken sandwich is free? Back to jail. She said back to jail. Oh, Lord, you better go defend your woman. He ain't doing a damn thing.
Defend your woman.
Wow, you can't let somebody push her like that. She hanging all out the window. Now, he ain't going to do a damn thing. Wow, all this for a chicken sandwich. No, you hit her first. You hit her first. And he's just standing there. You know what? If somebody's, you better be throwing down together. He ain't killing nobody. He just standing there like, dang. Oh, now wait a minute. Now it's a girl fight. They done throw shoes. Oh Lord, what is happening? Oh, they done all fell down. Wow. No. What? Wait a minute. Oh, this at Papa's. What is happening? Oh, Lord.
Now, finally, the police are showing up.
All over the chicken sandwich. Oh, they got the big boy. Look at the big boy. They better give him some free chicken sandwiches. Oh, there's a new sheriff in town. Yep, you're going
they
down,
all
buddy.
To jail over
she should have stayed.
Sandwich.
Well, she should have stayed in the car. She was screaming and hollering at him in the drive-thru line. And she done fell down trying to protect her man. Girl, you protect your man. That's a big boy right there. They need to give him some chicken sandwiches.
Are we going to get our sandwiches or what?
We got sandwich and entertainment.
So all this has occurred. Now, winds up, all four of them wind up going to jail over this.
Sounds like that's probably warranted.
Over chicken sandwiches.
Hope it was good.
Now, I will tell you the chicken sandwich is good.
Mm-hmm.
Of the little sliver I got.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's good. It's not worth going to jail over. And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. So, anyway, that's just, you know, it's just stuff that people are doing these days. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Peace on earth, goodwill.
I know, right? It's just stay in your car, get your chicken sandwich. But to wait, I can't. Look, I do not wait in line for anything, right? We show up somewhere, there's line. I'm like, I'm out of here. Yeah. I am not sitting in a drive-thru for an hour and a half waiting for a chicken sandwich.
In fact, that's the primary reason why I would rather cook at home.
Exactly. Well, look, and where my house is located,
mm-hmm.
literally, Popeye's chicken
yeah.
is directly across the street from the Chick-fil-A.
That's the way it is in my place.
Really? Yeah. So if I go to Popeye's chicken to get a chicken sandwich, and I don't have it, I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
It makes the lines at Chick-fil-A look short.
Exactly. Anyway, all right. Hey, Danny, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good.
You just came in for that, didn't you?
Yeah, entertaining, I suppose.
Did you bring some chicken sandwiches in this
I did
morning,
not.
Danny?
None.
Nothing. You brought nothing.
I brought nothing.
Oh, geez. So what are y'all doing for Thanksgiving? Chicken sandwiches?
Chicken sandwiches, yeah. No, you know, doing the normal family deal, running from place to place. And
yep.
I've kind of told my wife this year, said, look, I'm tired of running. Like, we can do something at the house and people can come to us, but going back and forth is just for the birds.
Is that what y'all usually do? Y'all are the ones all going to everybody's houses?
Yeah, with three kids, fun stuff.
Yeah. I quit doing that about 5 years ago. We used to do that. We could pack up all the kids, go to grandma's houses, blah, blah, blah. Now I send Ubers to grandma's houses, and I bring them to our house.
Oh, that's genius. Yeah, I may have to do that. We've actually had the discussion 2 nights in a row where I said, look, I think I'm swaying her to my side that, hey, maybe it would be very nice just to take it easy.
You know, I actually, but I calculated the cost of what I, you know, the time, the gas, the effort, and all the other stuff I'm doing to haul these kids around to grandma's houses.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for me to Uber my mother to my house and Uber her back.
I think you're onto something.
I'm telling you, I'm not a big Uber fan, but that is, you know, the $60 I spend on that, I'll do that all day long.
Heck yeah. Right.
I love my mom, but driving an hour to get her and back, it's not.
Not going to do it.
Uber picks her up, drops her off. And by the time, the thing is with my mom, by the time she shows up in the Uber, she's like best friends with the Uber driver. She like knows their birthday. She has like their personal contact information. She's like sending them birthday presents.
She's
every
got a new
year.
Friend.
I know, absolutely. It's hysterical. That's just what my mom is, though. Anyway, be right back after the break. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Danny Ratliff, Certified Financial Planner. When we come back, I promise, we're going to talk about some serious stuff. Don't go away. We got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. Whoa, we're halfway
there. Whoa, listen to the Real Investment Show podcast from your favorite service. Same show, your schedule at realinvestmentadvice.com.
2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with our RIA advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the Client Portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
And welcome back to the show this morning. Let's go! 6:34. As I would talk about the Real Investment Show, you know, one thing that is happening, is, and I told you, so fun's over. We're going to talk about stuff now.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, so it's bound to be boring. Financial planning, womp womp.
Danny's here. All the fun gets sucked out of the room when Danny shows up.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
I like when Dad shows up. It's all over. It's all fun and games. If somebody gets the eye put out or Danny shows up, one of the two. So,
fantastic. Glad to be here.
Does that mean we have to stop jumping on the bed now?
Darn right. God, I feel like I'm at home now.
So Brent has a cartoon on my computer this morning. So I have these show notes that Brent puts together for me. I have a cartoon up here, and it shows a turkey, a chicken, and a duck all in bed together. They're laying there. And it says, the bottom caption says, having satisfied their curiosity, the three friends went their separate ways and never discussed making a turducken again.
I've seen that one. Have you ever had turducken?
Yes.
Yeah? Like it?
Oh, yeah.
He does.
If they're done, if they're done right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's really the thing, mm-hmm. right?
So what was yours filled with?
I can't remember exactly what the stuffing was made out of. It's been a while. It's been probably maybe 7 or 8 years. So
I cooked one a couple years ago for probably 7 or 8 years ago for Thanksgiving. It was I think we did one with jambalaya. And we did another one with something else, but it was really good.
That was what was in mine, jambalaya. Yeah.
But you got to cook it right.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. I mean, but I'm not a big turkey fan anyway. So that's duck is kind of for me falls into the turkey category. A little bit.
Okay.
So
it's kind of a foul recipe.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. No pun intended.
None whatsoever.
But no, I mean, look, I mean, it was good. I would I eat it again? Yes. Would I wait in line for an hour for a chicken sandwich? No. But yeah, I mean, I'm more of a non-traditional Thanksgiving guy, right? So brisket.
All right, so what's on y'all's table? Brisket?
Okay. Brisket, barbecue. Oh, yeah. Last year we had ribeye steaks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still a turkey there. Because other people eat turkey. I just don't eat turkey. So, and other people in my family don't eat turkey either. So, it's just.
All right. Fair enough.
So we always have one kind of oddball thing.
Yeah.
Y'all do traditional?
Primarily, yeah. We'll switch it up some.
Turkey, ham?
Yeah. We do a lot of cabbage rolls. We do the traditional turkey, ham. I try to switch it up with a turducken. Or, you know, I always like experimenting with new things. You know, prime rib, something like that.
There you go. Yeah. See, prime ribs, that's off the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. So people have made a lot of money in the markets. And, you know, this is that time of the year. We're moving to the end of the year where it's time to start doing tax planning, right? Because your 2019 taxes are going to be due very soon. So this is the time to start thinking about doing things like selling, you know, gains, offsetting against losses, you know, rebalancing your portfolio, doing some tax efficiency work inside of your portfolio. It's also a really, really good time right now because of low interest rates. Low tax rates because of the tax cuts, to do what's called a Roth conversion. And this is where you convert things that you have in tax-deferred accounts into a tax-free account. It means you pay your taxes today, but it could save you a lot of money down the road, particularly if at some point, and which is going to be the case, whether it's in 2020 or 2024, a Democrat is going to be elected into the White House and taxes are going to go up. The first thing they're going to do is come attack the tax bill, right? Anything that's a legacy of Trump is going to get attacked as soon as the next president comes into office. Taxes are going to go up. So this is a good time to think about if you've enjoyed a 10-year bull market, have a lot of money built up in your 401k accounts, your IRAs, et cetera, this is a good time to think about converting into a Roth. Now, there's some caveats to that, and that's why Danny's here. So let's
talk about it. This is something that we're spending a whole lot of time on because, like you mentioned, we have probably till 2020, 2024, hopefully 2026 when this actual bill sunsets, mm-hmm. right? And so this would be ideal to really start aggressively take advantage of these lower tax rates. You can currently be in the top tax rate of 24%, making up to $321,450 as a couple married filing jointly. It's $160,000 if you're an individual. So mm-hmm. this starts to give you some wiggle room in what you can potentially do. Still keep your taxes down. Your effective tax rate typically is going to be in the low teens at that point. So really making sure that you are doing the right thing. So this is a difficult thing because most CPAs you talk to are going to say, hey, put everything in the tax-deferred account. Mm-hmm. A lot of advisors are still of that old-school way of thought. The issue with this, especially with the CPA, is how do CPAs keep clients?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on how much they save you every year. That's how they're graded. That's how they're judged. So it takes a little flip of the mindset in the sense that you need to begin thinking about longer term. What's the future look like? And so I think once most CPAs that we visit with get on board, this is a really good idea that you can go ahead and start paying taxes now. And
yeah, but just hate paying taxes. This is the mentality of people, though, right? I hate paying taxes. I don't want to give the government any money. Hey, I get it, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes if I can pay some taxes today and then have tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals in retirement and tax rates go up, you're going to be much better off. And particularly when it comes time to start, you know, thinking about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, because those are impacted potentially by your taxable income.
That's right.
Which comes out of tax-deferred accounts.
So that's a very important aspect of it, right? We want to have the flexibility so that you're not hit with additional taxes. You don't have those stealth taxes for Medicare, for Social Security mm-hmm. come and impact your overall financial plan. So it is very imperative to make sure that you're looking at all the different ways that you can keep money in your pocket. So I get it. I know the feeling. Nobody wants to write that check to Uncle Sam saying you owe money.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst feeling in the world. You know, remember a couple years back when the government was shut down?
Right.
I'd have to write a check and think, what the world's going on here? They're not even issuing refunds, but here I am having to write a check. This is awful. But, you know, the feeling is mutual. However, I'm on the strong belief that we're going to see much higher taxes down the road. And I think that, you know, we can look at the deficit. We know what the government's doing. They don't run a budget. They're spending too much money. And so how are they going to make more money? They're going to come to you and I and tax us.
Right.
So unfortunately, they have a couple ways that they can mandate that by increasing those additional taxes on the Medicare, Social Security, but also doing the required minimum distributions.
Right.
So when you turn 70 and a half currently, you have to take out a certain amount every year. We want to help give clients the flexibility to say, hey, you know what? We don't have to take out so much now. Or if we're going to take money out, we're going to take it from these tax-free buckets that aren't going to impact our overall tax scenario. So they can have much higher taxes, and it's not going to have a significant impact on their overall financial plan. Whereas somebody who doesn't have that flexibility, everything's in that 401k, everything's in the IRA, mm-hmm. you're not going to have that. And unfortunately, you may have a lot less than you think so right now.
Look, but there's a very, very important caveat to all of this, which is that we are at record market highs right now.
That's right.
10 years into a bull market cycle. So if you go run down to your advisor and say, hey, I was listening to the Real Investment Show this morning. They said, I should do a Roth conversion. He's going to go, great, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And we'll move the money over to a Roth. And then what are you going to do with the money, right? Because when it comes out of the IRA or the 401k, it's coming out as cash. So sure. You've got to do something with it. And so the typical answer is, well, we just got to stick it back in the market. No, that's not what you do. The reason is that we're at a 10-year cycle market, bull market highs. And the odds are within the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to have a fairly major drawdown. If you take money, say, let's say you take $100,000 out of your IRA, you put it into this Roth IRA, do the conversion, pay your taxes today, awesome, on the $100,000, and then lose half of it because you're invested wildly in the markets and have no discipline or sell strategy or anything else to protect your assets, you have completely wasted why you made the conversion. So when you make the conversion, you stay uber conservative in that account. I mean, like, super conservative. You can't afford to lose money. If you take that and cut that value in half, you've done yourself no service of making this transition and paying taxes today.
Well, that's right. So it used to be where if you made a problem, if you made an issue with taxes, right? So a lot of times CPAs used to come back and say, hey, converted too much. We want to go ahead and, you know, recharacterize that, bring that back into the traditional IRA. You can't do that any longer.
Right.
So the new tax code also states that you can no longer recharacterize. So meaning that once you do this, it is permanent. So you need to make sure that you're not putting those funds at too much risk. Now, look, the way I'd view this is that if you put these funds aside, you invest them conservatively.
Mm-hmm.
This can be your dry powder, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying not invest them, but just don't go, you know, buy an S&P index fund and do a buy and, oh, just buy and hold and ride it up and down and you'll be fine. No, you're cashing out excess valuation that you have in your portfolio, taking an opportunity to take this excess capital gain that should not have occurred, but it occurred because of all QE, mm-hmm. right? We have these excessive valuations, convert that, pay less in taxes, give yourself tax-free growth in the future, but you can't destroy it. So you can't go invest and be extremely risky with it and then cut it in half because now you've destroyed the whole value of and reason to why you did it in the first place. So make sure that you got the investment strategy on the other side. The conversion part's important, but it's also the security part of it after the conversion that's just as important.
That's absolutely right. And make sure you have the money to pay the taxes.
Yes, that's true.
You know, well, it's one thing that many people fail to forget. Oh, wait, I got to pay taxes on this. Yeah. Where's it coming from?
Yeah, you got to have that too. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Wrap up the show. It is the Wednesday. It is Hump Day edition of the Real Investment Show. I'm Real Science Roberts. Danny Ratliff joining me this morning. Be right back.
Real Investment Show podcasts are now available on iTunes.
Listen anyplace, anytime
at iTunes.com.
There's a 2019 is drawing to a close. Get ready for a successful 2020 with our RIA advisor's free financial planning tool, MyBlocks. It's our online modular manager for your money and your life. Does your vision of retirement match up to reality? MyBlocks can help to determine how much you'll need and how you can achieve. What worries you about your money? Create your own personal financial vision for the next decade with MyBlocks, our free tool at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the Client Portal tab, RIAAdvisors.com.
And welcome back to the show this morning. Danny Ratliff joining me this morning. And millennials lose again. Poor guys. You know, millennials were kind of sitting around waiting for, and there's been article after article after article about this out in the media, that the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the United States is going to go from boomers to millennials. Like $70 trillion worth of assets are going to transfer from boomers to millennials. Unfortunately, it's not quite happening that way. Millennials aren't getting their fair due at this point. As it turns out, that nearly a third of household wealth is going to flow from one generation to the next. And so it was thought it was going to go from boomers to the younger millennials. But the problem is that we boomers, and have you seen, by the way, the new kind of slang term that's coming from millennials towards boomers?
No, what is that?
It's this new meme called, it's called OK Boomer, which is like, you know, whatever you say, yeah, I don't believe you, right? Whatever. So, yeah, whatever. Okay, boomer, go away. That's the millennial, right? So just completely dismissing the boomers. And while they were thinking that they were going to get the inheritance because we're all living longer and refuse to die because we're stubborn and old and cranky, it's actually transferring over to other boomers. And for example, in 2019, more than a quarter of the request went to adults of the age 61 or older. So the parents lived long enough so when they transferred the assets, it went to another retiree.
Well, so they would have been essentially the millennials' grandparents. They
Correct.
Went to their parents, and then they're not going to get it until they're in their 60s.
Until their 60s, right? Because, and then again, that's just assuming that their parents don't live to be past 100, which with the innovations of medicine and, you know, modern medicine and things that we're doing with taking better care of ourselves, in some cases, we are the most obese country on the planet. You know, the longer that we live, the older the next inheriting generation becomes.
Well, it's likely that the millennials aren't going to have a whole lot left. If we look at the epidemic we have as far as financial awareness and what people actually have saved, you know, if you look at, depending on the study, it's what, $192,000, $195,000 for a 401k for somebody who's 65 years old?
Actually, I just did an analysis yesterday. The average 401k bonus is $103,000.
Now, is that the median or the average?
That was the average.
For somebody how old?
That's the average 401k balance, okay. Period, right, yeah. Across the board is $103,000. Now, of course, that number is heavily skewed by the top one-tenth of 1% that have over $1 million in their 401k. There was an article out yesterday, and this was why I was talking about these numbers, that last year, 2018, the number of 401k millionaires declined because they were right at having $1 million in their 401k plan. We had a 20% drawdown last year, so they slipped back underneath the mark. So this year, they got back above that mark again. So the headline was running around that we have now created 180,000 401k millionaires in America. Isn't that great? 180,000 millionaires out of 30 million retirement accounts, right? What's your percentage ratio? It's the top 1%, right? Which that's skewing the whole average. So actually, if you strip out the top 1%, your median 401k balance is actually running around $56,000 to $58,000.
Yeah, that's not too hot.
No, it's about 1 year's worth of salary. But you do bring up a good point. The problem is the lack of financial education. What we know, and even working in our business, is that money, when it is transferred to the next generation, very rarely survives the next generation. In other words, it all gets spent because they didn't earn it, right? So as soon as they get all this money, what do they do with it? They go buy big houses, they buy cars, they buy boats, the whole nine yards, and they wind up blowing through all the inheritance. So the money doesn't last. And this is why we're big fans of setting up a family trust that pay out a income stream over time, but always protects the capital. So that way it transfers from one generation to the next. You create a living legacy for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, so forth and so on. But that way it doesn't get squandered by the next generation that's coming up. It's also a big reason why we use a whole life insurance policy that we overfund. Creates a lot of tax-free wealth for retirement, but also ensures that the core of the trust stays intact for generations to come.
That's right. The permanent life insurance has always gotten a bad rap, and it's really been a nice tool to be able to utilize. You know, that's another thing that we have big concerns over right now. The estate tax you can make, or excuse me, you know, there's only, you can get up to $11 million, you know, just over that will not be taxed, you know, per individual. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Every dollar you get over that, it's going to be 40% tax on that.
Yep.
And so when you start to think about families who create a lot of wealth, you know, most people are going to say, wow, I'll never be in that bucket, right? That's not going to be our family because that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But what if it is? Or what if they lower that? What if it's now $5 million, $3 million, well, $1 million? And it's been all those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the easiest – so when a Democrat gets elected, one of the easiest ways to go after the wealthy people – and it's a way to go get additional tax money from wealthy people without really causing a bunch of hubbub, because most people don't really even understand it, is you just lower the minimum for the estate tax. You just say, you know what, The minimum for the estate tax limit is now $500,000. Anything over $500,000, you're going to pay 40% taxes on. The majority of Americans don't care. They don't have it, right? So it's right. it's only people. So that's one of the easiest ways to go get more taxes from the wealthy is just lower the minimum, the estate tax limit.
Go online, look at anybody's comments on anything political, and you're going to see redistribute this wealth. You need mm-hmm. to go after it. You've got Elizabeth Warren campaigning with her $25 mug that says billionaires' tears.
Right.
I mean, give me a break. Who's going to afford that, right? People, mm-hmm. come on. So there is this big talk of redistribution of wealth. Sorry, can't talk today. But so that's just one aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. You utilizing something like that to pay the taxes down the road. But the other aspect would be, you know, this is a great tool. So kind of like we mentioned, we were talking about Roth's last segment, is that this is something that you can actually take income from without being taxed. So that's right. a pretty neat aspect that you can utilize these types of policies for.
It's a policy I use, and it's interesting because I actually use it to fund, you know, other investments as well. But I have a permanent life insurance policy. I overfund it every month, which the money grows tax-free. Plus, it grows at a compounded rate of return, because every year I get a dividend on that grows tax-free. But then I can borrow against it and use it. And the value of the total value, even with the loan outstanding that I'm using to generate a higher rate of return in real estate or whatever else I'm doing, still continues to compound at that annual rate tax-free. And when I retire or when I die, you know, it's tax-free income to me or tax-free income to my family. So, you know, it's a great way to create tax-free growth. And particularly if you make enough money to where contributing to a 401k is, or you don't have access to a 401k, or you're limited out in a 401k because of high earners in your business, or, you know, contributing $5,000 to an IRA just simply doesn't, you know, really help you hit your savings goal. Overfunding a whole life insurance policy is an awesome way to do it and create tax-free income.
Well, that's right. A lot of people say, well, hey, I can't contribute to the Roth, or, you know, I maxed out the Roth 401k. Where do I go next? And mm-hmm. this is a great place for people to put funds. And because it gives you the flexibility, you know, ideally you're going to have that death benefit, but you're also going to have the flexibility down the road to take funds out. Hopefully, if it's done right, you want to be able to have a policy that's going to, it's going to be a net. It's going to be a wash on the interest they charge you for mm-hmm. a loan and what they're actually going to credit you. And so I know that can be kind of confusing on how that actually works.
Mine's actually a positive.
And if you can get one that's positive, even better. So we spend a ton of time making sure that we find policies that work just like that, so that, you know, our clients, when they get into retirement or they have a need, they can take these loans out. One, actually be in the positive, or it's a wash. Two, they can take these funds out without paying any taxes, mm-hmm. which is fantastic.
Yeah, well, no, and like for me, I use it to, you know, I can borrow money at 3. I can invest it, you know, in real estate that generates 12. And then when I sell the property or do whatever with it, I put it back in. And I have the spread in between. But the value of the whole account is still growing as if all the money's still there. So, you know, it just is a very great way to create some very simple leverage that can be very net positive.
Yeah, so I think that at the end of the day, you know, what we look for is all the different strategies that are going to be able to provide you with more flexibility in retirement, going to keep you away from potential higher taxes down mm-hmm. the road. Because, look, I know that, you know, we say, okay, well, if a Democrat's elected, well, guess what? It down the road, it's not going to matter who's elected, because we continue to spend money like we have. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is going to have to raise taxes just to keep the general social welfare programs going.
Right. No, look, taxes are going up. They're going to go up a lot. And if you take a look at, there was a survey out this morning, taking a look at millennials and Gen Zers, right, which are the next two groups that are coming up. 64% of both those groups will vote for a socialist candidate. They said, if there's a socialist candidate, I will vote for them. Now, what that means is don't look at it and go, wow, they're just stupid. What that means is this is your entire next group of legislators, voters, lawmakers, voters that are all coming up. And so Ocasio-Cortez, yes, the AOC, she's just the first. Don't think she's the last. She is the first of the new face of all the legislators that are coming up. Capitalism, as you know it, is dead. It just is still walking at this point. It's walking dead. It will be socialism within the next generation. So once the current batch of old people get out of Congress, the new batch is going to look a whole lot like AOC, and those are the policies they're going to vote for. And so if you don't think taxes are going to go up, if you don't think there's going to be an attack on wealth, you are sadly mistaken. It's just not here yet.
Man, I think you're right, but I pray you're wrong.
It's
a scary sentiment, but that's exactly why we have to do these things right now. Take control of your financial wealth and make these smart decisions to give you more control of your own assets down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, got to wrap up the show for today. That's the Wednesday edition. Tomorrow we'll be back with Michael Leibowitz. We got to talk about Federal Reserve stuff tomorrow because Jerome Powell making statements before Congress. We actually have an article coming out in the morning telling Congress, to your point, you need to start doing something about the debt because it's a bad thing. And we'll talk about that tomorrow on the next edition of The Real Investment Show. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Get by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. All our new blog posts are out this morning, as well as our newsletter, our podcast. It's all there at the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Stick around because Chris Salcedo is coming right up. It's a rich man's world.